All is infinite mind manifested. Mildred LeBlanc, CSB, wrote, quote, "When Mrs. Eddy announced that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, she did something for the human race it can never escape, and which will do more to lift the human race out of fears and limitations than any statement ever made by anyone." Yes, it was this very statement that was used by the practitioner who healed my mother of blindness, my father on his deathbed, and my little brother of double hernia. I was 7 years old, but I can still hear my parents repeating this statement with the conviction that it would heal them. As I have testified before, my mother's sight was restored in 3 treatments. Then my father asked for treatment and was healed the same day in 1 treatment. When my parents spoke to the practitioner about my little brother's condition, she said, "You know what healed you. Just keep knowing all is infinite mind manifested." The next day it was found that the little truss he'd been wearing was no longer needed. That same statement in Science and Health, understood by the practitioner, had healed him too. Those 3 almost instantaneous healings in Christian Science have been the watershed experience of my life. "What thou needest to know," Mrs. Eddy declared, "is that mortal mind has translated the body and its functions into matter, and immortal mind gives back the original with its functions preserved and harmonious, but not as not in matter, but as and of mind." Dear reader, this instruction has a deep spiritual meaning, not only for the churched, but also for the unwashed. It simply means everyone and everything will always be recognizable to us in the stage of growth we have arrived at. In a letter to his pupils, Professor Herman S. Herring, CSB, wrote, "It is of first importance to see Mrs. Eddy rightly as the woman of prophecy referred to in the Apocalypse, as the one through whom the Comforter came, the second coming of the Christ." Before continuing with Professor Herring's letter, let's examine Ira O. Knapp's sudden illumination. In a class, he saw Mrs. Eddy rightly when she was explaining the 12th chapter of Revelation. He spontaneously exclaimed, "Thou art the woman." Mrs. Eddy, discerning his spiritual thought, did not rebuke him, any more than Jesus rebuked Peter 2,000 years ago, when Peter, with his usual impetuosity, cried, "Thou art the Christ." Precisely so did Mrs. Eddy discern Ira Knapp's assertion, knowing that, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Through a lightning flash of spiritual insight, both Peter and Ira O. Knapp realized that the great truth which was being taught and which was leading them Godward was the mind of Christ. Ira Knapp was referring to the God mind Mrs. Eddy was letting use her to bring forth truth. His statement had nothing to do with a fleshly form those in the class saw as Mary Baker Eddy, which, of course, correctly seen, is spirit, since spirit is all. But ignorantly seen as matter, it is just a part of the Adam dream that we have to be awakened from. Perhaps we are still too close to the advent of Mary Baker Eddy to see clearly, but in years to come, Ira O. Knapp's statement, "Thou art the woman," will be just as immortal as Peter's exclamation to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ." Unity of Good, page 49, states, "The more I understand true humanhood, the more I see it to be sinless, as ignorant of sin as is the perfect Maker." Unquote. When the veil that human birth has cast over us is removed, when the hypnotic suggestion that makes us believe we are mortals with matter bodies is finally dislodged, overcome, we will realize our divinity. If Christian Science isn't teaching us this, what is it teaching? If Mrs. Eddy's writing is not teaching us that the mind infinitely above our ignorant mortal sense of things is our mind here and now, when rightly seen, what good is it to us? That was a digression. We continue with Professor Herring's letter of 1938. Quote, "Unless we see that this revelation came through Mrs. Eddy under divine inspiration, and see it as the inspired word of God, we are not seeing Christian Science rightly. Jesus and Mrs. Eddy were the two witnesses and must be seen as such. Just as Jesus in the flesh must be seen as the one who established the first coming of the Christ, back of whom was the divinely royal man, so Mrs. Eddy in the flesh must be seen as the one who established the second coming of the Christ, back of whom was the divinely royal woman, the God-crowned woman of the 12th chapter of the Apocalypse. She saw the, quote, marvelous unity of man with God shadowed forth in scientific thought," unquote. Mrs. Eddy's preparation for removing the veil. To paraphrase Science and Health, page 494, is it not a species of infidelity to believe that so great a work as Mary Baker Eddy's was done for herself or for God, who needed no help? But mortals did need this help, and Mrs. Eddy, manifesting the mind of God, the mind infinitely above the uneducated human mind, infinitely above a fleshly sense of herself, brought the second coming of the Christ. She tells us that it was not her human self, but the divine power of truth and love, infinitely above me, infinitely above a mortal sense of self, which dictated Science and Health. What prepared Mrs. Eddy, then Mrs. Glover, to receive this divine revelation, the second coming of the Christ? She states, "God had been graciously preparing me during many years for the reception of this final revelation." This gracious preparation actually consisted of nearly 40 years of sheer, unmitigated physical suffering and endless disappointments. In 1866, the world was dark. The senses could not prophesy sunrise or starlight. Thus it was, when the moment arrived of the heart's bridle to a more spiritual existence, when the door opened, I was waiting and watching. And lo, the bridegroom came. The character of the Christ was illuminated by the midnight torches of spirit. My heart knew its Redeemer. I had touched the hem of Christian Science. That's from Retrospection and Introspection. It was February 1866. With her godlike character and using her lightning-fast mind of Christ, she was able to complete the work of Christ Jesus on earth and to fulfill the biblical prophecies concerning her divine advent. Her revelation and discovery teaches mortals how to remove the veil, the covering cast over all people, that makes people seem like matter bodies. The woman in the Apocalypse is a symbol of your real divine selfhood, as it was and is a symbol of Mrs. Eddy's true being and of her great revelation. This is so, or nothing in Science and Health would be true about you. Mrs. Eddy revealed your true identity, your divine identity, as a God being here and now. For 40 years she worked indefatigably to reduce to human apprehension her divine metaphysics, to reduce to a system the divine science her God mind discovered. See Science and Health, page 471. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy instructed us how to let that mind be in us that was also in them, the mind that was mind to Jesus and to Mrs. Eddy. Our leader never considered recognition of her place in Bible history as either deification or personality worship. She discovered the science of being that we all have to learn. She has nearly 150 references to learn and learning in the textbook. Jesus is not deified by acknowledging his place in scriptural prophecy, and neither is Mary Baker Eddy deified because she completed his work on earth and brought the promised comforter. She is not deified because she fulfilled the many biblical prophecies concerning the woman that shall compass a man, as Jeremiah says, that shall encompass Jesus' teaching, as promised by Jesus. Remember, he prophesied that the Comforter shall teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance, compass, whatever I have said unto you. Do we say, yes, I believe this, but in our heart, do we want a king, a board of directors, five mortals to rule over us, and to be successors to her who brought the second coming of the Christ? Today, in the gathering twilight, we hear the constant drumbeat of the universal news reports of Boston's decline. As Mrs. Eddy foresaw, quote, an unjust, unmerciful, and oppressive priesthood must perish, for false prophets in the present, as in the past, stumble onward to their doom, while their tabernacles crumble with dry rot. God is not mocked. That's from Pulpit and Press. Mrs. Eddy also perhaps knew that prophecy cannot be broken. It is history written in advance. We've already cited Revelation 12 as pertaining to the present era, which warns, "The devil is come down unto you with great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Because humanity everywhere is breaking new spiritual ground, we are heartened to feel that short time is almost over, and that it will shortly come to pass that all mankind will realize who it was that walked among us in the last century and the first decade of this. A cold, hungry winter looms high on the hierarchy's horizon now that the tides of truth have unleashed forces that can't be stopped. No longer will spiritual education languish as the fraying, exposure-ridden Boston regime engulfs itself in a morass of double talk and eventually returns to its crypt. Quote, church organization often looks like a great substantial fort. It looks strong and indestructible from the outside. But when you go through the gate, almost everyone inside is dead. Unquote. Marching on in spiritual organization. As we grow equal to the march triumphant, God will give to all his soldiers of the cross the proper command, and under the banner of his love, and with the still small voice for the music of our march, we shall all take step and march on in spiritual organization. Remember, Mrs. Eddy knew there was never a religion or philosophy lost except by sinking its divine principle in personality. Part 2. Mrs. Eddy's Place. In 1938, the board set up a committee to investigate Mrs. Eddy's own assessment of herself as representing the spiritual idea typified by the woman in the Apocalypse. 57 pages were prepared on the subject. Then, in 1943, Mrs. Eddy's place in fulfillment of Bible prophecy was clearly set forth in the Christian Science Sentinel and Journal in the following 6 points. Since these 6 points are familiar to most Christian Scientists, the author has taken the liberty of injecting interpolations. 1. Mrs. Eddy, as the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, understood herself to be the one chosen of God to bring the promised Comforter to the world, and therefore the revelator of Christ's truth in this age. 2. Mrs. Eddy regarded portions of Revelation, that is, chapter 12, as pointing to her as the one who fulfilled prophecy by giving the full and final revelation of truth. Her work thus being complementary to that of Christ Jesus. Jesus prophesied that the Comforter will guide you into all truth and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, in bringing the first and second coming of the Christ, even though they were the Spirit of truth, had to come in fleshly forms, else how could we be taught? 3. As Christ Jesus exemplified the fatherhood of God, she, Mrs. Eddy, revealed God's motherhood. She truly represents in this age the spiritual idea of God typified by the woman in the Apocalypse. See Science and Health, page 565. This is also made clear in Science and Health, pages 560 to 562, with even a modicum of spiritual sense. The man-child, Revelation, is a symbol for the purely spiritual and mental Christ, in distinction from the man Jesus, who came as a corporeal Savior or as Christ Jesus. 4. Mrs. Eddy considered herself to be the God-appointed and God-anointed messenger to this age, the woman chosen by God to discover the science of Christian healing and to interpret it to mankind. She is so closely related to Christian science, the product of her God-mind, that a true sense of her is essential to the understanding of Christian science. In other words, the revelator cannot be separated from the revelation. They are one. 5. This recognition of her status enabled her to withstand the opposition directed against her by the dragon, malicious animal magnetism. She was touchingly grateful to those who saw her as the woman of prophecy, and who therefore trusted, obeyed, and supported her in her mission. A few of Mrs. Eddy's helpers were truly spiritually minded, but many were bulbs of small wattage, and what Mrs. Eddy characterized as, quote, stuffed shirts and trained monkeys, unquote. Only because she leaned completely on infinite good, God, was she able to complete Jesus' work on earth and bring to mankind the Comforter he prophesied. Dear reader, do you see Mary Baker Eddy as fulfilling St. John's Revelation chapters 10 and 12, the woman of prophecy, and trust her? Or do you trust those who for 80 years have infamously denigrated her and tried to separate her from her great discovery and revelation? 6. This same recognition of Mrs. Eddy as the woman of prophecy is equally vital to our movement, for demonstration is the result of vision. The collecting of this indisputable evidence of our leader's own view of herself and of her mission marks a great step forward. Here it should be remembered that Carolyn Noyes, CSD, wrote that all Mrs. Eddy's loyal students recognized that Mrs. Eddy was the fulfillment of St. John's prophecy in Revelation. This wide recognition of Mrs. Eddy as fulfilling prophecy accounts for the marvelous healing work done during her time and the decades immediately following. So far as the world is concerned, there is no Christ evident here and now until the Word becomes flesh, until there is an individual to show it forth. Mrs. Eddy speaks of Jesus' parable foretelling the second appearing in the flesh of the Christ truth. Wisely utilized, this evidence will stimulate and stabilize the growth of Christian scientists today and in succeeding generations. It will establish unity in the field with regard to the vital question of our leader's relation to scriptural prophecy. Mary Baker Eddy reminds us, the scriptures and Christian science reveal the way, and personal revelators will take their proper place in history but will not be deified.